Good morning, I'm Mary Beth Marsden, and this is Know Your Health from LifeBridge Health, where each week we bring you important health information. And this week we're talking with Dr. Paul Gerbel, an interventional cardiologist at Sinai Hospital and director of the Sinai Center for Thrombosis Research. And today we're talking about common sense steps that anyone can take to improve their heart health. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us. You know, I hate to focus just on women, but I often feel that women are the one part of the population that still don't get the whole heart health. We always think about men having heart disease, but I know it's a number one killer for both sexes. So let's just talk about what people can do in general just to improve their cardiovascular health.
Well, I think the most important thing people can do is to establish healthy lifestyle. And that's sort of a broad term, but it means regular exercise, paying attention to diet, consumption of foods that are low in fat, that are lean, making sure that they're seen by their physician, that they know their numbers, that they're sure that their blood pressure is adequately controlled, that their cholesterol is not elevated. If they have diabetes, they should have their diabetes controlled. So these are all the what we call modifiable risk factors. These are measures that all people should take to try to avoid having problems with their coronary arteries.
When you think about heart disease, do you view it, and maybe you view it both ways, but do you think that it's largely preventable if people really take care of themselves, or is the genetic predisposition too much for some people to overcome?
Well, genetics certainly, we're learning, play an increasing role in cardiovascular risk. And indeed, there are patients who have a genetic predisposition, particularly those patients who have a family history of early heart disease. And in those patients, irrespective of what you do to modify the risk factors that are modifiable, like cholesterol, like making sure their diabetes is under control, like their hypertension is controlled, they will still get coronary artery disease. But the disease in large part is preventable. And again, that has to do with controlling blood pressure, controlling the cholesterol. There was a study that was done once called the Inner Heart Study that assessed the role of various modifiable risk factors in terms of their importance for heart attack. And the most important factors that were identified were high cholesterol, hypertension, of course smoking was one of the highest risk factors, abdominal obesity, and some factors that were associated with reduction in risk or less risk was consumption of regular fruits and vegetables, regular exercise, and a small amount of alcohol.
Little red wine.
A little bit of red wine, yeah. So I think that in many patients, the disease can be certainly minimized by close attention to modifying the risk factors.
You talked about knowing your numbers, knowing your cholesterol numbers, your blood pressure, et cetera. At what age should we start knowing our numbers, and does that depend on our family history?
Well, certainly if there's an early family history of coronary disease, I would be very vigilant about knowing the numbers at an early age. The cholesterol should be determined in childhood. And we're learning now that the more proactive we are, the more early we implement therapy with statins to lower cholesterol, the more we intervene early on for blood pressure control, the better the outcomes of the patient. So you're right. A lot of it has to do with the family history. If you have an early family history, I would be particularly vigilant for early screening.
And this can be confusing for a lot of people. How do we really know the symptoms of a heart attack?
Well, the symptoms of a heart attack can be myriad. So the classic symptom is retrosternal chest pain in the center of the chest. And usually it can radiate to the arms, the wrist, it can go up to the jaw. So those are sort of the textbook symptoms of a heart attack. But interestingly, in women and also in patients with diabetes, the symptoms may be atypical. So they may have just nausea or just shortness of breath or just a feeling of weakness or sweatiness. And that's not infrequent, really, in women. I've seen many women present to the emergency department, have their symptoms totally missed and be discharged out of the hospital.
But I guess they've done the right thing by going to the emergency
Absolutely.
Department.
Absolutely. Right. And it's well known that women tend to have less textbook-type symptoms than men. And also patients with diabetes have what we call a defective warning system because of potential effects of diabetes on the nerves that provide the sensation of chest pain, and so they will also tend to have a higher risk of not being adequately warned with classic symptoms.
Dr. Gerbel, thank you so much for joining us and talking about cardiovascular health. To find out more about the new Sinai Center for Thrombosis Research, you can call 410-601-WELL, that's 410-601-WELL, or visit lifebridgehealth.org/heart. I'm Mary Beth Marsden. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.